Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, text 102, Madhya Lila, chapter 1. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nitya.
Ayani, get rid of this. Ayani. Get rid of it.
Jaya Dvaita Chanda.
It doesn't belong in here. Bhaktavinda.
Yeah, you have to mute your phone.
I'm sorry.
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Abheta Karila Prabhu Dakshina Dhamana. Forma Shetha Kaila Vasu Deva Vimochana. After bestowing mercy upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the Lord started for South India. When he came to Kurukshetra, he delivered a person named Vasudeva. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Taksurumrutam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vichaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadhamayam Sadati Sapadantikam Adadanas Chanamdante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Tulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yud Bhakti Risham Piyatnai Apayam Amanabhipshamantam Satambuhiya Paradhuka Dhupi Sanatanastam Prabhumasrayami Pancha Taupa Tarubhyascha Vipa Shindhu Bhayevicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Bastant Falls, upstate New York. It's absolutely a beautiful day outside. And perhaps now is that type of weather is starting. It'll be a little challenge for the people to and the sangha. Really nice, really nice outside. One nice thing about being in miserable climate like the Himalayas in the winter or upstate New York in the winter is when it's very, very cold, there's nothing outside to activate your attachments, and it inspires one to actually stay inside. But in this particular time of the year, probably up here is the most beautiful weather you can imagine. And of course, you know, the spring coming into the summer, you know, it's a nice time. I'm saying that because maybe I didn't hear so many chimes today. Someone asked me, how are you doing? And, well, you know, I said, well, I'm not enjoying life. Because to enjoy life, one has to be the controller. Because to enjoy life, things have to go according to the way you want it, according to your desires, according to your comforts, etc. And to actually have that happen, you have to be the controller. We're not the controllers, and because we're not the controllers, we're certainly not the enjoyers. Because the world just doesn't move according to our desires. But on a spiritual platform, the world is always moving for your benefit. The world is always moving according to the will of God. when you love someone, you try to satisfy their will or desire. And if the world is moving according to their will or desire, even if it's not moving according to your will or desire, you can still be happy, because love means to center on the other. So once we become centered on Krishna and the service of Krishna, then we become above that type of duality. So we're in a very interesting section of the the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I told you how excited I am because I really didn't know what I was getting into, because I hadn't actually read this in a while. But it's the mercy of Krishna Das Kaviraj, and his mercy is he's giving us just a synopsis in one verse or sutra form of the whole Sesha Leela. And I explained before how I thought probably this is just his compassion. He wants to give us this, just as Prabhupada wanted to give us the Krishna book and the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which are probably two of the higher texts. But I think he wanted to make sure that we had them through his realizations and presentations. So he presented them right at the very beginning, and he wrote in the Nectar of Devotion that I've compiled this for my devotees. So we're getting this synopsis, and it's been a treat for me. And it's been a treat for me because what I decided to do is just each verse that mentions some subject to actually go and read the complete chapter that will come up and really get that taste of Gaur Leela and somehow try to communicate that. It's wonderful Gaur Leela, which presents actually the highest consciousness and the highest mood of perfection in a somewhat accessible form. Just like we described in Srivats Angam with that nocturnal kirtan, which is actually Rasa Stali in Navadvip, because Navadvip, or you know, Gaurmandala Bhumi, is none different than Vrindavan. Just the mood and form has changed, just like a person. I described that many times. The same person kind of changes with mood. When he's angry, his mood is different. And you know, the same person is radically different in different types of moods. He can be the sweetest person, and then he can get angry. And in that anger, it's the same person, different mood. And in that anger, his face also turns red with rage or color. So the color changes. So Navadvipa Gaur Leela is Vrindavan Leela, just with a different mood and a different shape or color. But because it happened 500 years ago, it's more contemporary to us, and it's also more accessible to us. And we can also approach that the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a mood of servitude, because we're serving someone who is in the highest consciousness of Brajabhakti. And to serve someone, you take some of their mood to do it. That's why Rupa Goswami was glorified so extensively previously in our discussion, because he understood the mind of Lord Chaitanya, and therefore he could serve him intimate. So this mood is very nice, and I mentioned Rasa Stali in Srivatsangam, where the kirtans began all night, just as Krishna danced all night with the gopis. The devotees were doing kirtans. So where is the Rasa Stali? How is that the same? The holy name is there, and the holy name is Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna is Radha Krishna. I explained that before. Hare Krishna is Radha Krishna in union. Hare Krishna, Radha Krishna in union. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It's Radha and Krishna in separation. How is it separation? Krishna Krishna is the heart of Radharani in separation. Hare Hare, which is the name for Radharani in the vocative, is Radharani in separation. So the same mood is there in Rasastali as they're here in Kirtan, in the depth of their understanding and the depth of their mood. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the devotees are in the mood of the gopis, and they're chanting in that mood, and Krishna and Radharani are there in the form of the holy name, and that love, that prema is also there. Rasa Vaisa, very, very, very exalted subject matter. And how wonderfully, out of his compassion, Srila Prabhupada not only gave it to us, but tried to make it accessible to us by explaining the principles of Chaitanya Charitamrita in a fairly basic way. So here in the particular story, it says in this verse, a koila, a vimochana, deliverance, thereafter, what? After what refers to the previous verse, prasad parila sarva bhome, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy upon sarva bhoma bhattacharya by showing him his original form. So he actually showed sarva bhoma bhattacharya that there is no difference, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his four-handed form and then his two-handed form. So this is such a significant pastime of the deliverance of sarva bhoma bhattacharya. Because after all, where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to, he's Krishna, fulfilling his position as the supreme enjoyer by trying to capture the mood of his own internal potency, Srimati Radharani. I know these are deep subjects, and when a subject is deep, we can keep them high above our heads and just bow down and pray to these subjects. But see how significant it is. So he takes sannyas, and sannyas for him, complete renunciation, complete dedication to Mukunda. And what is his mood of sannyas? Is that complete dedication. Ihayasya harer dasye karmana manasagira. Ihayasya, serving Hari. Ihayasya harer dasye karmana manasagira. Karmana with work. Manasa with mind. Gira with words. Complete dedication. And he's going to capture. He's going to cultivate. He's going to beg for the mood of the Brijvasis, not only the mood of the Brijvasis, but the mood of the topmost Brijvasi, whom all other Brijvasis basically are an expansion of that Shakti or mood of Srimati Radharani. He's taking that up to become deep, to become ontologically, existentially complete as the absolute reality. So he's in that mood, and therefore he's going to South India. And we've been following that. And just now, we can all in our minds have this wonderful vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this wonderful vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just dancing and chanting as he's walking. And he's dancing in great expectations. I remember when I used to go to festivals at Gita Nagari, and I used to stay at Tejo Prakash's house. Beautiful little house, and I used to walk to Mangalarkik. It was such happiness. I'm going to see Radha Damodar. It was so much happiness. I'm going to see Radha Damodar. Or Krura, when he finally was going to see the lotus feet of Krishna in Vrindavan, even though he was sent by Kamsa to bring him to Mathura. But if you read that story and read his mood, the expectation, he's filled with that tremendous expectation to such an extent that when he sees the chakra on the temple of Lord Jagannath, and that those of you who have been to Puri who have seen the chakra on or Jagannath, just approaching it. And therefore, focus in one sense not on the moment, but focused on the future. When will I, when I will come, when. Then somehow or other, when you're in the future, time is relative, time expands. And a moment seems like 12 years or more, because when Krishna is with the gopis, he's thinking, oh my God, when will this end? No, in separation, excuse me. When he's with them, it goes in a second. And anyway, we saw this with, and it's significant because the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, in other words, the main obstacle to Rajabhakti, the main obstacle to actually entering into Vrindavan is selfishness and impersonalism. And therefore, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is entering into Vrindavan and entering now following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into Puri, we're also following. And when he arrives in Puri, he's going to reveal to us the highest truth. But by his mercy, he's preparing us to enter into that highest truth. And therefore, he has to clear the conceptions of impersonalism. And impersonalism means what? It means kutarka. It means bad logic. It means karkashayam. It means a hard heart. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bhakti bhumanam atre. He converted him into a great personality, a great personality of a devotee. He converted his heart. Before he converted his heart, he had to free him from this inception. If you want bhakti, you have to have buddha or the proper conception or understanding. It doesn't mean to be a scholar. You can have a simple understanding, but you can't have this understanding. So, just like it says in Bhagavad Gita, aham sarvasya prabhavo matasarvam bhavartate iti bhuta bhajantimam buddha bhava samadhi. I am the source of the material and spiritual worlds. The wise know this. Age in my devotional service. Buddha Bhava. From Buddha, or the proper understanding, comes Bhava. From Sambandhagyan, knowledge of our relationship of Krishna. That knowledge of our relationship of Krishna, that clear understanding of our relationship of Krishna, manifests into our relationship with Krishna, which means it manifests into the proper mood. Yes, I am a servant of Krishna, but do you love Krishna? But first you have to have some proper understanding. And especially you have to be free from the prominent misconceptions. And you can imagine how strong in India, where everyone is into the Vedas and things, how strong impersonalism is. And therefore, we see in Prabhupada's own Pranam mantra, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatya Deshe Parane. That he cleared Nirvishesha. Impersonalism and voidism. So he converts him, and it's a very, very spectacular conversion, because actually Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he tries to reinitiate, I guess this has been going on for a long time, because he felt he was in a superior, or he was in, Lord Chaitanya was in an inferior order of sannyas, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to initiate him into a higher understanding. And Gopinath Acharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, brother-in-law, tells him he's not dependent on any social status for his position. And that's why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming into Puri, at the border of Puri, Lord Nityananda broke his sannyas staff into three parts, indicating that Lord Chaitanya's position is not dependent on anything external. He's not bound by anything external. Although Lord Chaitanya protested to give support for the strict regulative principles of sannyas, or the order and following the rules, for those who are not on the Paramahamsa stage, the highest stage. And obviously, to do what Lord Chaitanya is going to do, which is to sit in a cave in Puri, it's a room, but the room is like a cave for the rest of his life, doing bhajan, you have to be at the stage of Paramahamsa. Actually, to meditate deeply and attain stages of Dhruvana Smriti and Samadhi, higher stages, your heart has to be clean. You have to be free from vikshepa, passion, or distraction. You have to be free from loya, or laziness, or sleep. You have to be free from rasavada, or so many subtle and mundane tastes, even poet, whatever it is. And you have to be free from kshaya, past samskaras or material. Otherwise, when you renounce the world and go into this state of meditation, then what will happen is, whenever you have an impure heart, then the consciousness goes to the senses. And if the senses are not engaged in devotional service, you will be allured from the devotional path, which is why kirtan is the best path, because it also engages the senses. And therefore, even though we're still filled with desires, at least, when we go to the senses and the melodies, and that's why saying kirtan with others, doing kirtan, singing, and then we're engaged spiritually beyond our level of internal mental control. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says he's like the incarnation of God, and then he says, and you don't understand him, that even though the Supreme Personality of Godhead is standing before you, you cannot understand him because you see yourself as a separate and independent God. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's disciples, they stand up. There is no incarnation in Kali Yuga. And they quote a verse that the name for Krishna is Triyuga. He appears in three yugas. Anyway, I don't want to go through the whole story, but that's refuted by Gopinathacharya. And he begins to quote, even Krishna's birth. The Garga Muni says, this is not an ordinary person. He appeared in a red color in Treta Yuga, and a white color in Satya Yuga, and a dark color in Dwapara Yuga, and a golden color in Kali Yuga. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna Sangopangasta Parshadam Yogyai Sankirtana. And quoting from the 11th canto where it predicts the Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna. Krishna Varnam, he is the Varnam or category of Krishna. Krishna Varnam, he is chanting Krishna Tusha Krishna. But he's not Krishna or dark, he's Akrishna. He's golden in color. So very nice. And then within this story, we get these very intense, if those of you want to read it yourself, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya decides that this is such a beautiful and handsome and attractive young sannyas, 24 years old. Imagine taking sannyas at the age of 24. Yeah, I know what it means, because I took sannyas when I was 32. That's not much. It's probably younger than most of you. What was I thinking? We were fired up and we were mad. I remember one of my godbrothers, anyway, Guru Kripa, if you ever met him, he kind of has a broken nose and he looks like a gangster, and he actually talks like a gangster and he walks like a gangster. even though he's very, very learned and very, very dedicated to the holy name. And somehow or other, when he was 20 years old or 21, sannyas, 21, he got sannyas. Can you imagine that, coming from the hippie days, bad samskaras, 21. And then he went down with another person who took sannyas at 21. And they went down and they went to conquer all the different acharyas. So they came to, they told me this story. They came to this one acharya who was a page of Swami, who's still alive, and he's the most respected sannyas in the Madhva community. And the way the Madhvas give sannyas is they have eight mutts, eight organizations, and they have one main mutt at Udupi, and I was there. From Nityananda's day went to school near their nose. And the way they do it is they rotate that each of the mutt who has an acharya, they get to do that worship. I think both is each person does it for 2 years, so it's every 16 years you get to do it for 2 years. And when you're char and in their line, the only person who can take sannyas is the acharya. And they search, they make an astrological calculation to see that this person is fit. And then when this person is chosen to be sannyas, he's not the acharya, he's the junior acharya. And a lot of times they're only 11 or 12 years old. And your danda is the size of your body. So even when they grow up, they have this danda, which is made 4 feet tall. It's a very interesting system. And I was just there when they were having their installations. The big whole town closes down, and then I saw their junior sannyasis, you know, like 25. So it's only like 16 sannyasis in their whole organization. And so the senior one is this page of a Swami. And he was in Vrindavan, in Mayapur. They have very strict rules. They can only bathe in a holy river and so many different things. So he was very kind of, you know, I guess he's spiritually advanced in many ways and very, very deep. Not back in our line, but almost in our line. So they went to him, and they were just young guys. And they looked at him, and they wanted to challenge him. Now, these people have studied Sanskrit, the Shastra. They're the ones that specifically, their mood is to defeat Mayavadi philosophy. So this one sannyasi, and he was, had another, not group people, another one, he had a French-Canadian accent, and he looked at him and he said, "What are the three aspects of the absolute truth?" Anyway, I don't know how I got into that side, but the Vedanta, he wanted to teach him. He's a young sannyasi, only he wanted to teach him Vedanta. So he spoke on Vedanta, and after 7 days, Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, I don't understand what you're talking." He said, "You did you understand me?" He said, "No." He said, How come you didn't raise any questions?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "Because I understand what you said, but not how you interpreted it. Because it's very, very direct." And then he begins to explain against Mayavadi philosophy, that Mayavadi philosophy is an interpolation, a twisting of the direct things of the Veda. And then what Chaitanya goes into, the, finally quotes from the Bhagavatam, the verse about Sukadeva Goswami, who when he left the womb of his mother, because he wasn't attached to the world, but was attracted when he heard the verses about Krishna, describing Krishna's quality. And the verse described in the Bhagavatam is Atmarama Chumunayo Nigranant Abhyukrame Akurvanti. It's that one who is Atmarama, he has no attachments in the world. He's still attracted to the quality of Krishna, meaning that the name, form, qualities of Krishna are transcendental. They have nothing to do with this world, because someone who had nothing to do with this world was attracted. So Sarvabhauta said, that's very interesting. He said, let me hear your explanation of the opera. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm just like your disciple. Give me. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made 9 different interpretations to this one verse. And Lord Chaitanya said, you're such a scholar, I'm amazed. But there's another way to look at it. And without touching those 9 explanations, Lord Chaitanya gave 64 explanations to the Atmarama verse showing how the qualities of the Supreme Lord are purely transcendent. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was done. He was absolutely, absolutely stunned. And just fell on the ground, surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who showed him and revealed to him his form as Krishna. And then he revealed his form, the four-handed form, and then his form, the form as Krishna. And then the next day, Lord Chaitanya, he went to the temple of Jagannath for the Mangalarti, and they gave him a little garland, they gave him a little prasadam, and he said, okay, he said, you know, this Sarvabhauma, I'm so pleased with him that he's actually become a Vaishnava. Let me bring him some Maha Prasadam for me. So he's bringing him some prasadam from the deities. And it's just before sunrise, so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is just waking up. And strict smarta, you know, strict rules of the Vedas. You don't eat before you wash your mouth. In fact, you don't eat standing up. Everyone can still hear me, I hope. So, you don't even eat. I mean, Steve, I try to avoid that. You know, it's honoring prasadam, you eat. And he just goes to the door. I guess he's still rubbing his eyes. He said, Chaitanya said, I have some prasadam. Immediately he takes that prasadam. And Lord Chaitanya just looks and he's like so amazed that this person was the kutarka, the reservoir of bad logic. He was the hard heart. And he was such a the most learned person in all these things. And then he sees, open the hand, places prasadam, and he not even washed his hands. He hadn't taken bath. He hadn't finished his morning. You don't take prasadam until you worship the deities also. Nonetheless, he was pleased to receive that maha prasadam. And then eating the prasadam, then he said, Sukham Parushitam Bhati Nittam Va Duradeshita Prapti Matvena Bhoktavyam Natakala Vacharana. The Bhattacharya said one should eat the maha prasadam of the Lord immediately upon receiving it. This is from Padma Purana. Even though it is dried up, stale, or brought from a distant country, one should neither consider time nor place. Vadesha niyamaspatra nakala niyamaspata saptam anam dutam shishtai voktavyam haryabravit. The sadam of Lord Krishna is to be eaten by gentlemen as soon as it received. There should be no hesitation. There are no regulative principles concerning time and place. This is the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced Sarvabhauma. And they, touching each other, they became so ecstatic and they began to dance. And all spiritual symptoms, they manifest nearby. They started to tremble, shed tears. And this is the chief impersonalist who actually brought from Mithila Desh in Bihar was the center of logic, and it was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya who created developed a new system of logic called Navanyaya. The chief logician, so discriminatory, They control their emotions. He's dancing like a madman, trembling and perspiring, with saliva coming from his mouth after eating this prasadam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my dear Bhattacharya, you've been released from material bondage. You've cut the shackles of the illusory energy. Your mind has become fit to take shelter, surpassing the regulative principles. You have eaten the remnants of the food of the Supreme Lord. So this whole wonderful, wonderful lila manifests. And then there's a time, a sequence that is given, because Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyas in January, February, he winds up in Puri, and April, by that time, Sarvabhauma is converted, and he wants to go to South India on the pretext of visiting Vishwaroop, but actually, he just wants to go to deliver the conditioned soul. That's part of his mission, to give the Prem Dham. And because he wanted to go to all the places, he wanted to do it observing the renounced order. And he felt if he was surrounded by so many of his doting followers, like Vakunda, who becomes unhappy any time he sees Lord Chaitanya doing austerity, Jagadananda Pandit, who wants to give him fragrant oils to massage his body, and Damodar, his servant, who's always criticizing him for different things out of love. He wanted to go, but Nittai pleads with him. At least take an assistant to free your two hands, because you have the water pot, you have the staff, you have an extra set of kopins. Your hands have to be free. What? Because they used to chant on their hands, counting the Nam. So even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu counted the Nam. The Lord Chaitanya now is so attached to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He's so attached that he could not leave Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya now without taking his permission. Because very frankly, although he converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was 80 years old. So it was, you know, in spiritual circles, you know, you can't be one-dimensional in terms of your relationships. I remember one time in my preaching, I went up to the West Point of India, called the Indian Military Academy, which is the most fabulous, sophisticated institution in the world, has more subjects than any school in the world, and I met the principal, and I talked to the principal of the Indian Military Academy. And the principal of the Indian Military Academy, he became a devotee. And he retired that year, and he joined. But, you know, the guy was 64 years old. He had a PhD. He was an English scholar. He was the head of this, you know. And then he came to ISKCON, and naturally, he was getting the ghee lamp blast, as we like to say. And he wasn't being respected. But people don't understand that respect is on multi levels, just like in the Panihati festival, when Lord Chaitanya sat people on the platform, he sat his intimate associates and the Bada Loka, the biggest, most powerful men. So, and I remember when I this man went on a prikram with me, with God brothers and so many things, and we went out with a very elderly Vaishnava. They made a platform, and they invited me because I was the sannyasi, and they invited him. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to respect Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya just broke down in tears. He said, if a thunderbolt on my head or if my son dies, I can tolerate it, but I could not endure the unhappiness of separation. And then after a while, Lord Chaitanya satisfies and goes them. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fainted, unconscious, but Lord Chaitanya did not look back. And this shows you an elevated mind. An elevated mind has to both be able to open its heart to others and reciprocate with others and feel for others, and it also has to be able to shut the heart when sentiment is interfering with duty. There you'll see someone with a strong heart. They can do, and he walks out, and he leaves. And now this verse that we were discussing, it describes he went to Korma Shetra, where there's a famous temple of Korma, which was specifically revered by Ramanujacharya. There's a whole story where supposedly Ramanujacharya got kicked by Lord Jagannath all the way to that place. And this is very essential. There's a Korma Brahmin. And like many people in household life, I was joking with Sachi Sutta today. He's the very nice devotee who's provided me this place where I stay, but he does the deity worship here for Satsrupaja's deities, which are upstairs, Radha Govinda. It was interesting. Anyway, his son came into the bathroom that I used and made a complete mess of it, and then Sachi had to go. So I was joking with him that this is the best place for a sannyasi to stay because he really understands household life and really it fortifies his sannyas. You know, when you see especially the mod world, taking care of children and all that it entails, and I worship those people that take this responsibility for the children. So what happened with this Korma Brahmin, he pleaded, he said, I'm miserable in my household life. I just want to serve you directly. I just want to take sannyas. And Lord Chaitanya said, and this was the message he gave, says, no, stay in your situation, perform your duties, practice Krishna consciousness, and serve the mission and serve my mission by distributing the holy name. In this way, your ashram will be no different spiritual life, sannyas. And that's where the famous verse came out, Yara Deka Tari Koha. Krishna Upadesh Amara Agyai Guru Hoy, instruct everyone, he said. And so anybody who's a Grihastha who's listening to this, which probably everyone is, this is Lord Chaitanya's instructions for you, even if you have so many difficulties, even if you're struggling, there's so many. Of course, that's probably a different being a Brahmin in South India. He couldn't imagine what it's like to be living in New York, Jersey, America, wherever you are living, and the kind of things, getting in cars and whatever it is. But still, we apply a principle. We apply a principle according to circumstance. But this is for you. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this world. Of course, he was a Brahmin. He was highly qualified. You should take that position. And then in the verse that we read, it talked about Vasudeva, because there was one leper, and he was a Brahmin. So his hands and his feet were melting away. This is the most horrible, horrible disease you can imagine, because you're ostracized from society because it's so highly contagious or something like that. Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't want to. We know no one would like to have it, that's for sure. And I saw one time this one person. There's different types of leprosy, and generally you get it if your body is extremely degenerate. And a lot of disease. And this one man with, I read this book on nature cure, where you can cure yourself naturally. And this is a fact. I read the book, and I cured myself of malaria about 20 years ago without taking any medicine, by fasting for 11 days, taking enemas and following the idea that disease is ultimately caused not by the bug or the germ, but by the condition of the body. And I have a strong constitution there, so I'm recuperative. So I actually cured myself. When I read this book, this guy wanted to prove he tried to get leprosy by living with lepers. And he couldn't get the disease because he was too healthy. So he spent a month degenerating his body. The guy must be crazy. And then he started to get the disease. And then he cured it immediately. So there's different types. So I remember one time one person got a type, but it's not the type that degenerates the body, but still it's a white leprosy or something. So this person I knew, he got some kind of mark, and he was very, and he went to this sadhu. And this sadhu said to him that, okay, this is because you offended, you know, a Brahmin in your last life, you offended a Bodhi in your last life. He said, for the next week, you should just drink charanam. The person did it with faith, and I swear, it's all God. Anyway, this person was such a devotee that the worms were falling out of his sore, picking up the worms, and putting him back in the saw. Can you imagine the level of compassion in his heart? He was even considering the worms, so he's putting it back in the sores of his body. How much compassion he had. And then when he went to try to see Lord Chaitanya in a humble way, he just fainted on the ground. Because he realized that Lord Chaitanya had left. Lord Chaitanya, in his heart, he had gone, but he felt something. He came back. And he embraced this Vasudeva effort. And as he embraced this Vasudeva, then all the sores in his body were gone. He actually delivered that. So we're following, and I think what I'm going to do, and the idea is, and then he continued to travel, and whoever saw him, they became a devotee. Because again, when someone exemplifies righteousness and purity and devotion and love, it's attractive. And when it's attractive, something's attractive, you want it. And therefore it engenders the desire in your heart. Now, one thing I may or may not do, because my Panihati festival is in, I guess, 3 weeks or something. At a certain time before that, I may start to tell the Leela, because when I speak the story at the Panihati Festival, I'll give the essence of the Leela, you know, and that'll be like maybe like an hour and a half. Jayadvaita Swami now is also coming, a little something. So I've decided, because I really feel this Leela can be spoken on for hours, hours, and hours, that I'll start just of maybe doing that Leela for the next few weeks. Very, very nice and interesting to do that. And then when you do that, and then when you have to summarize it, you really get deep realizations that are going on it. Over. Any questions on this bright Memorial Day weekend?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bogya.
Don't even know where to start, but anyway. One thing I couldn't understand at all was when you were...
Speak louder.
When you were saying... You remember when you were saying that... I think you were saying something like we could have relationships on many different levels, and that's the time you were talking about the age.
Oh, yeah. What I was explaining is you can't just deal with someone on one level, right? A classic thing is the Vedic conception of husband and wife, right?
Yeah.
You know, the husband in the Vedic conception is like hierarchically superior in authority, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
When you transfer it to a Western culture, somehow people only see that relationship. But there's other relationships. Like, you know, the woman is revered on so many different levels. She can be revered on the level of a Vaishnava, as the head of the home. You know, let me give the example. The example I explained with this, which is more clear. This man may have been new to our society and may even been new to devotional service, but he was a very highly placed and prestigious man in society. So you can't just deal with him on the one-dimensional level of his hierarchical position that we see in terms of who's coming to Krishna consciousness and who joined first.
Mm-hmm.
A cultured person would also see that he's so elderly. And it's the same thing with myself. I give you an example. I used to have someone who wasn't a disciple of Prabhupada who used to work under me. Right?
Yes.
And he was elderly than me.
Mm-hmm.
He was 20 years elder than me. He was from a mm-hmm. Saraswat Brahmin family. He was a successful man in the world. And he was a very advanced devotee. He would treat me with such reverence. And when he'd pay obeisances to me, I would pay my obeisances back, and he would become upset because he said, you're taking away from my respect, you know. But still, I was very, very cognizant of that. And the same thing when we went on Parikram with this man and this sadhu had a platform for himself. He was a very highly revered sadhu in Braj, and he happened to take me and 100 people on Parikram. Even though I had God brothers with me, because I was a sannyas, he put me on the platform to take prasad. That he arranged prasad at some ashram, so they offered him some respect. And, you know, somehow or other, it was like a platform. And he invited me, and he invited this man who was 65 years old. And that's consistent with the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Panihati. He just didn't invite the intimate devotees. He invited the Vara Vara Loka, the very, very big people. So what I'm saying is there's multi dimensions of dealing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just deal with someone, for example, yes, okay, a Prabhupada disciple will respect. But that's not the only dimension.
Mm-hmm.
What if there's someone, he's not a Prabhupada disciple, but he's older and he's more spiritually advanced.
Mm-hmm.
For example, disciple of Jayadvaita Swami, his name is Kadamba Kanana Swami. So
yes.
He's not a disciple of Prabhupada, but we're in a function, you know, we have to honor him. He's a sannyasi, and he's, you know, spiritually advanced devotee. So what I'm saying is what happens is when people don't have some bandhagyan or mature spiritual understanding, They take the Vedic culture and they one-dimensionally apply it. It's not just seniority, it's just, yeah, but still, you know, okay, we'll respect Prabhupada. Like, you know?
Yeah.
I was at a function recently and, you know, the sannyasi invited a couple of the God brothers in to take the shot, but he also invited a disciple of Satsrup Maharaj, who's our age, who's a very wonderful devotee, and also has a PhD in psychology, and is using that to serve the devotee. So, you know, there's many, many different levels of feeling. And, you know, a person, we just try to honor everyone on the highest platform. That's actually the best. But if there are certain distinctions, we make the distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I can't answer all the questions now, but mm-hmm. I answered one.
Yeah, that was good. Thank you.
Anybody like to say Hare Krishna? I think many people are...
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Devadeva Dasi.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, it's nice. I know that you're on regularly, and I get a feel for this. Between sometimes people writing me and other things. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Stella speaking, please, and Carl is here too.
Okay, nice office to be with you.
Please accept our humble invitation.
Thank you so much. Hare Haribo.
Haribo.
Somehow Super Soul, I have a sense of. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Anuradha from Santa Barbara.
Anuradha, you're very nice that you've... join the Sangha. Is this the first one you joined?
No, Maharaj, this is my third.
Okay, good. You enjoy Gaur Lila?
Yes, very much so, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Okay, if you see your Guru Maharaj, the next time you see him, tell him you are on my call, and I sent my humble obeisances and greatest respects to him.
I will, Maharaj, and His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj is also with us.
Okay. When you see Indradumna Swami, say you're on my Sangha, and I offer my most humble obeisances to His lotus feet. Okay?
I will, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. I'm finding people who I didn't know were on it. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Gordon?
Yes.
Where are you, Gordon?
In Pine Plains.
Pine Plains. Okay. Where in Pine Plains? Just your house?
No, I'm in a cedar tree grove on a person's farm, and he's a talk show medicine man. So
he's a talk show medicine man?
Choctaw medicine man. They walked the Trail of Tears with the Cherokee, and their origins are in Tennessee. And he's ordained medicine man. I met through my services in the substance abuse field.
Amazing, huh?
Okay. Quite.
Okay. Well, anyway, I always like when you get on and share where you're spending your Sunday morning. I think everyone finds it interesting to do, you know. Of course, it's nice having philosophy. This makes it personal, and you kind of, it's nice that you always come on. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, okay. Let's all now go out to the outside and get some fresh air. Bunch of
One second.